Clearly, we're not the only ones thinking about what we were born for and trying to figure it out. Since the 60s, people have been singing about, what are we born for? Why are we on this planet? You know, Andrew spoke about that young guy. What is he, 8? It's like, why was I born? I mean, I'm a survivor. I must be born for something. And so welcome to week 2. And if we take a bit of a rewind, if you weren't here last week, we learned that we were born to walk out of our door, out into the streets, out to our school, down to the shopping center, to do a miracle, to deliver for God miracles every day of our life. We need to live in the land of everyday miracles, not just fancy walking on waters or blowing up skyscrapers or doing giant big healing things, but everyday miracles, where we regularly deliver miracles to meet people's needs so that God can enter their lives. So we feel that everyone is needy. Everyone needs us to come to them, reach out, touch their life in a specific way. And that behind the scenes, God is moving towards people. God is doing things. God is wanting to touch lives. And he's actually looking around. He's up there in heaven saying, I wonder if Anda's going to deliver that miracle today. I wonder if Luke Man's going to do that miracle today. I wonder if Sichaba is going to do that miracle, deliver that thing. Because if not, I need to find another delivery agent. And I wonder how often God gets to the end of the day and he says, like, man, I just wish they would stand up and volunteer. You know, when you ask for volunteer, no one wants to volunteer. It's like, oh, come on, someone, just one person. In the army, we had that phrase, army volunteers. I want 3 volunteers. Thank you. You, you, and you. Go do that thing. Army volunteer, okay? And maybe God has to do that with us sometimes. We said that a miracle is acting on God's nudge, God's push in the back. Hey, who's pushing? Oh, it's God. Sorry, God didn't know it was you. To meet a need in someone's life. So God is pushing me. God is orchestrating the circumstances of my life to move me into James's sphere of influence because James is needy and he needs a miracle. And it's God moving me there. It's not like, oh, why did the taxi go the wrong way? Or why did I get that bus? Or, you know, why do I take the wrong turn? And suddenly I'm in this little space and God is wanting to use me to meet someone's needs. And so during this process, we're going to look at a number of keys. And we began last week by looking at the first one, where we need to use the master key. And apparently, I don't think we really know about this, but apparently you can get a thing known as a master key that fits every door. Don't ask me how this works. I think it's bogus. But a master key is like one key fits all. Good luck, because all my doors and gates are different sizes. But maybe in a place well designed, one key would be this master key for everything. And so this was the master key, where every morning we enter the throne room, we volunteer to be sent, and we commit to act. We pre-commit, if you like. You say, God, I'm going to load up some acting airtime here. I'm going to have it ready when you need me. And then I'm going to expect to be used because we were born to be sent on a miracle mission. Now, I want to invite a couple of you to step forward and to graffiti on the wall here with the microphone your experience this week. Now, what I'm not looking for is necessarily a miracle testimony of how you changed Johannesburg's transformation or transportation system. Because we're actually still we're laying down some foundations. Even today, it's not so much about, oh, you didn't deliver a miracle every day, but it's understanding what this is about. So if you started to have nudges, if you've got a testimony of anything that's happened this week, I want you to race up here as quick as possible and join the line. At least 3 people are going to share testimony. Okay, who's here? Lulu, another one. It's like a family thing. Hillary? No, we want someone else now, otherwise it's one more guy, one more girl. Anyone? There might be something in this for you. Thank you, bro. And Tyler, you're going to not regret this decision to step up to the mic and testify.
Okay, well, on Monday, right, it was break and whatever, and I'm hanging out with my friends and stuff. And then, like, obviously, like, when you eat, you get thirsty, right? So I was thirsty, and I'm like, okay, well, I think I'm going to go drink now. But then someone just told me, just chill over here for a second. I'm like, well, but I'm thirsty. But just something just told me, just to stay here. So I was staying here. And then 2 of my friends and one of our teachers comes walking past, and they say, well, oh, hey, Lulu, because we're in Chance for Christ. They're like, well, we're doing a Bible study thing. Do you want to come? And I'm like, sure. And I knew, and I know that, like, if I had gone to Jinx of Water, I would have definitely missed them. So, yeah.
Awesomeness. Give him a round of applause. Let's present him with a You Were Born for This book to fill up your book, your week.
Okay, well, yeah. I was, like, by this place yesterday. It was, like, this dance competition thing. Anyway, so I was there, and, like, I didn't know anyone. So I was just, like, standing there, looking lost, randomly, standing there, looking for someone I knew. And I didn't find anyone. So, like, okay, I thought I was going to stand there, but then, like, I had to, like, someone just told me, go to the bathroom. I was like, but I don't need the bathroom. Anyway, so then I went to the bathroom, and then there were two girls there, and then they asked me, they were like, so hi, and I'm like, you talking to me? Hi! And then, yeah, and then they were like, okay, so like, who are you looking forward to? So then I said, the Killer Fam. So then they told me, oh, yeah, we know them. I'm like, could you please show me them? So then they, like, showed me them, and then they showed me them. And then they asked for money. So, money. I had lots of it. Yes, I had money. And I was like, how much do you need? They're like, yeah, we need 170. And I was like, my money. So then I eventually gave them 170 and, like, yeah. 100, exactly, thank you.
Awesome, sis. Well done, well done. Woo! Yeah, it's tough to part with the moolah, isn't it? Not easy. Thanks.
Hi. sometime this week, I don't remember what day it was, I had 100 rand that I had committed to give to a friend. And then I called them. I'm like, hey, I'm coming by. So I went through. And then we chat. And then I don't know, I had forgotten that I had to give him the money. So when I'm about to leave, I can't remember, we were talking about tax. And then as we're talking about tax, I'm like, oh, that reminds me, I have this for you. Then I gave him the 100 rand. And then he's like, wow, man, praise God. I was actually thinking I needed some money to buy some stuff. I'm getting sores in my mouth, so I needed some cash, and here you are, you came through. And I was like, praise the Lord. Yeah.
Awesome, bro. Well done. It's that response from the person that this is actually something specific that I needed or wanted, you know? When you're one step ahead, it becomes not just a good deed, but it becomes a good deed with God's timing and God's blessing all over that. So we're going to do three more keys today, and I'm going to ask my pretty assistant if she would come and help me deliver this. Give it up for Mtawalangina, if she could come forward. Woohoo! Oh, sorry, it's Imta. Sorry, I was...
Never mind, Kyoko. It's okay. Good morning, guys. I'm going to be quick here. I've got 5 minutes. There's three things that I want us to learn from this key. It's okay. It was the transition, but now I'm here already. Okay. There's three things that I want us to learn. Everyone say three things. Okay. How God sees people, how we should see people, and then how should we treat people. Okay, those are the three things. So the first thing was? Okay, that's the question. I looked it up this morning. There's 6,821,200,000 people in the world as of the 10th of May, 2010. And apparently, I don't know the statistics, but babies are probably being made even now as we speak in other countries all over the world. So it's probably more than that, all right? Now, the thing that I want to share with you guys today, if you look into God's heart, you will find that in his heart, there are approximately 6,008,200,000 people in his heart, because God is all about people. You guys know that the scripture, the most famous scripture in the world, John 3:16, that says, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that who shall not but have. Everybody knows that scripture. John 3:16. God loves the world so much that he doesn't want us to die. God loves the world so much that he wants us to spend forever with him. Now, I get tired of people when I like chill with them for a long time. But the Bible says that God wants to spend eternity with us. That's how much God loves us. There's a scripture in Romans 5 verse 8 that says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even before we knew him, God gave himself up for us. So the first thing was, how does God see people? The answer is, God loves people. The Bible says that before we even knew him, when I was in high school and I didn't even know God, I didn't even care about God, all I cared about was when the next edition of FHM was coming out, God still loved me. When I was concerned about all other things except him, God was still loving me. When I was caught in my sin, God still loved me. How does God see people? God loves people. Amen. And God loves you. Second thing, how should we see people? Next slide. Oh, that's me. I control everything. I'm so used to next slide. Second thing, how should we see people? Where's the testimony there that Ife gave? God wants us to see people like he sees people. And how does God see people? God loves them. Ife met strangers that needed help, and she gave them $170. And it's hard, you know? But something inside of her said, you know what? Just give people this money. Guys, you know what? The truth is, we don't naturally love people. Naturally, we like people that we like, and we don't like people that we don't like. Jeepers. It was a big mistake giving me this thing. Naturally, how many of you like everybody that you meet? Like everyone that you meet, you just like. How many of you are people that you don't like? Like, not that you hate them or anything, but it's like, dude, just do your own thing, and I'll do my thing. You know, only when we get put together in church will we like talk, you know, but otherwise, or in class when we do science lab experiments together, but otherwise, like, how many of you have people like that? But guess what? And here's the challenge for this morning. God wants to change your heart to be able to become like his heart. Because God wants his heart to be in our heart. God wants his love for people to be part of us. So that when people come and they say, dude, I need help, we're able to just love them and serve them. It's difficult, I know. But you know what? God is transforming us every single day to become people who love people. To become teenagers who love people. And not just teenagers who love the people that we like. There's a thing that he mentions in the book where he talks about preferred people sunglasses. You know what preferred people sunglasses are? You put them on and you only see the people that you like. So when you wake up in the morning, whether you believe it or not, you put those sunglasses on and you go to school. And at school, you don't see the people that you don't like. You don't see like the people that you never hang out with. You go to school and immediately, like Ife at the, was it a dance thing? Ife at the dance thing, you're looking for people that you know. It's like, who's here? Who's here? Oh, there's Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, and you spend the whole time. That's what we do every single day of our lives. We come to church, and it's like, who's here that I know? Who's my friend? Who's my friend? And we look through everybody. We don't say, I don't like it. Oh, there's my friend. I'm going to do that. And every morning, we put on our sunglasses, and God is challenging us this morning to take those off. So that when we go to places, when we see things, we see everybody. Because the truth of the matter is, oopsie-daisy. The truth of the matter is that God wants us to have collisions with every single person that we meet. God wants us to have miracles for every single person that we meet, or at least the potential of them. Now, will God always, every time you meet someone, God wants you to do something? Sometimes he'll just be quiet and say, you know, just chat to them. Just say hi. Just enjoy the conversation. Just talk about three ninjas. Hey? Three ninjas, bro. You must please hire three ninjas, bro. Please, just to see that guy. Three ninjas. It's an old 90s movie, but it's good. It's fun. Okay. That was beside the point. But this is what happens. God wants us to, every single time we walk, he wants us to see people and potentially bring a miracle to them. But unless we begin to say, Lord, you know what? Here's the honest truth. I don't like everybody that I meet. And that's quite a powerful prayer to say to God. It's an honest prayer. I don't like everyone that I meet. Help me to become more like you. And then God will be able to open up our eyes. He'll take off those sunglasses and we're able to meet people's needs. In the book or in the thing that you guys are about to get, there's a thing that goes like this. And I want us to just read through it quickly. To be able to be what God wants us to be, we have to make certain decisions. All right? And this is some of the stuff. Giving up my rights and comforts to serve people for God. That's a difficult thing. Giving up my money, giving up my chance to go and have a cool drink when I actually want to go have a drink. Who was the first Mandela? Giving up my time to go and give someone money, driving to that person to visit them and check about tax, whatever, and give them money. To give up my rights and comforts to serve people for God. To see everyone I meet as worthy to receive God's love. There's some people that we meet that we think like, yo, this guy is too far gone. This guy is too bad. He's too much. There's no ways God can save this person. But what have we learned today about God and how he sees people? He loves them. Even before they know him, God loves them. So we need to put on that those sunglasses that everyone that we meet is worthy to receive God's love. Thirdly, we must be willing to deliver a miracle even when we don't feel like it. So we didn't even have to preach today. I think we just should just have testimonies because testimonies just work. Like Ife, she didn't feel like giving the money. She didn't want to give away the money. She wants the money. But sometimes you just got to do stuff because you love God and God is changing your heart to love people. Amen? Who didn't need the... Oh, she didn't need the toilet, but she went to the bathroom. He didn't need to drink, but he stayed, you know? Madala didn't need to go give that money that day, but he went, you know? To allow... And the fourth one, or the third, fourth one, yes. To allow God... Oh, yes. To allow God to work through me as he wishes. And this I'm going to say really quickly. Sometimes when we meet people, we think we know what God wants to do with them. So we see someone maybe with a broken leg, and we just assume God wants to heal his leg. But actually, God wants us to tell him that his mother is going to be fine. Or sometimes we go to school and we think that we know what God wants to do. We know that this is what we're supposed to say, and we go and we think what God wants to say, but sometimes God has other plans. And Andrew's going to speak more about this, but we've got to allow God to speak to us to do what he wants to do, not what we think we should do. And that's where the spirit key, which is the next key, comes in terms of how to listen to God and do what he wants to do. And the fifth one, be open to God changing my plans so I can do his work. All of us have a life. James is going to Parktown after church, I guess. Some of you are going to hang around here. That's your plan. You want to stay here and chill out. I've got a wife, you know. Mark's got a wife. Andrew's going to get a wife soon, you know. And we all have plans to do stuff. But sometimes we've got to be able to let God change our plans so he can do his work. So as you walk out this door, you've got to say to yourself, Lord, whatever it is that you want to do, if you want to change my plans, change them. And we've got to be open to that. And guys, I promise you that as we do these things, and I know I've rushed through it, but as we do these things, we allow God to make us bring miracles to everyone that we meet. First thing, how does God see people? Jeepers. Second thing, how should we see people? God's eyes, that's a nice answer. This side is quiet. How should we see people? Through God's eyes, through how God sees them. Well done. Pray for God to change our heart. And number three, how should we then treat people? Honest. Honest. All right. Amen. Let's do it. Andrew's coming up.
There's the tater. There's booty. Okay, this thing's dangerous, man. All right, so we're going to do the spirit key. Yeah, so we've I got a little story. I think I might have spoken to you guys about this guy, Mike. Have I told you about Mike? You know Mike, my mechanic? He's a Yugoslavian guy. He's got a big Russian voice. He talks like this, and he comes from Russia. Now, Mike doesn't like me being a Christian, and he doesn't like my car. And I take it to him all the time to get it fixed. I should like it, because I pay him a lot of money for it. But Mark actually sent me to him. And when I went there, Mark warned me. He said, watch out for Mike, because he's got quite a mouth. Boy, does he have a mouth. When I get there, he goes, yo, look at your car, it's a piece of junk. And then he goes, 4 electric speeders, it's beep, 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 beep. You get rid of car, it's useless car, just junk. Okay, so this is Mike. But Mike's a really good mechanic. He's one of the best in the whole of Joburg. We've got it on good measure from Frank, who's been in the business for ages. He says, Mike is one of the best mechanics out. So I go to Mike last week, right? And I'm like, my car, Mike, oh, it's junk, throw it, scrap. Okay, so I'm like, Mike, can you fix it for me? Yeah, I fix, bring it. So I take it to him, right? Now it's got an air filter that needs to be replaced, it's got a radiator that needs to be fixed, got a whole lot of stuff. So I'm saying, Mike, can you do the car? I'm going to go to Wimpy and go and have a coffee, and then I'll come back. Yeah, it's good, go. Okay, so I go. Then at about 5:30, I come back, and I get there. Now, when Mike's finished his day at work, what he does is he lies on his chair, and he plays his solitaire on his computer like this. Okay, so I walk in. I'm late. I'm never late, but this time I'm late. And so I get there, and I got to go and cook supper for the guys, 7 o'clock. So I'm like, hi, Mike, I've come to get my car. Hello, yeah. So he starts talking about politics and the country and the crime while he's playing solitaire, not even looking at me. And I'm like, Mike, I've got to go and cook. Can I get the money, pay you? Let's go. And then I feel God saying, just chill with Mike. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to chill with Mike. So I sit down and I sit and we're talking. Oh, this country is like, no, and he's talking about black people and white people and racist comment. And I'm just like, yo, and 4-letter expletives everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, and then I'm trying to talk. Anyway, so he says, you know, World Cup soccer is nice. And he says, yeah, it's nice. You know anybody who needs a driver? So I say, oh, actually, yeah, there's a friend of mine who needs a driver, and they're paying R1,000 for people to drive. Oh, can you phone? So I say, yeah. So I phone this lady. She's not available. Then I remember I've actually got a friend, Carly, who's got a business, and they need a driver in his company to drive them around, the three of them. And so I'm like, ah, I've got this guy. So I phone Carly up. Hey, Carly, can you maybe get, there's a friend of mine who needs a job. Now, this guy that he needs a job for, his name's Boja. He's an old guy. He's a pensioner who's lost his wife to his best friend and the house. And he's now drinking and he's desperate and he's suicidal. And this guy's just in a bad way. But he's one of Mike's best friends, okay? So I phone now Carly. Carly, do you think that this guy could come and like speak to you? Yeah, it's cool. Send him tomorrow. I tell Mike. Mike jumps out of his chair. Oh, yeah, it's good, it's good. He phones his friend. Oh, Boja, what the And he's very happy. Eh? The next thing, his wife comes inside, and his wife, Gordania, is a nice, lovely lady. She starts telling me about St. George and about Ascension Day and about how they're going to have a meal. They're going to break the bread. It's the body of Christ, and they're going to drink the wine. It's the blood of Christ. And I'm like, but Mike always rips me off about being a Christian. What's the story here? I'm like, Mike, what's your deal? Oh, no, it's cool. It's cool. So suddenly he's like turned the other page. He's not like so against Christians anymore. So something's happening with Mike, and I don't know what it is, but I just know that God has got me there. So the deal is this. This is what happens with the Spirit Key, is that we need to partner with the Holy Spirit to actually, let's just see if that flicks out. It's broken. This piece of rubbish is what is. You go back. Back. Yeah, this thing is no good. We flick. Okay, so here's the deal. Okay, we need to partner with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit teaches us stuff. And we've got the master key, right? So the master key, this is what I was doing in the story. I was sitting at Wimpy praying, God, please use me. Okay, it wasn't like such a serious prayer, but it was the master key. I was in the throne room. I was reading the book. Okay, I want to do these miracles. So I say to God, I want to be used. So God's like, all right, that's cool. Then the people key comes. God's going to bring people. So I walk back to Mike, and there's Mike. I didn't expect Mike to be the one that I was going to do stuff with. I was going to go and cook. And the next thing, Mike is in need, and Mike wants to talk. So there's Mike. Then the Spirit key comes, is that we need to partner with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows stuff that we don't know. I didn't know that he had this buddy named Boja, and that there was something that we could do for Boja. But so as we get chatting, the next thing the Holy Spirit says, okay, well, there's this and there's that. And so what the Holy Spirit does is he knows us. He knows the person. He knew that Mike had a friend. He knew that I like people and I like to connect and network people. So he brought me with my strengths. He knows me and he knows the other person. And so he brings us together for this interaction. And so what happens is that he then guides us. I had to go and fetch my car. So I went back there. He then leads them to Christ in that situation. Now, I didn't say, oh, praise Jesus, we got the job. Yeah, that's great. All he knows is that I'm a Christian and that he can't figure out why I drive this little claptrap car and that I work at the church and he's always giving me a hard time about it. And when he talks about women in a bad way, I don't, you know, I just shake my head and go, oh, Mike, you know. And so he knows I'm a Christian. So for him, it's now, oh, there's a Christian doing something. So there's the Spirit of God is leading him to Jesus. The Spirit is there. And he's going like, what's up with these Christians, you know? And then the final, last thing there is that he empowers us and we do the work. So I, in my own strength, I didn't go there to say, I'm going to go and help Mike. I arrived there, but there was something that I had inside that God knew I could use to help Mike. And it was only the Holy Spirit that could do that. And so the miracle is that God brought us together for this miracle to happen, for this thing to happen. Now this guy's got a job. And well, we hope it's got a job. They still have to finalize some things. And so that was all the Holy Spirit's orchestration. It's not my power, it's not my strength, it's God's power working in us. And you guys have got stuff in you that you don't even know you've got until you meet somebody that God has got you to meet for that specific time. And so when we partner with the Holy Spirit, that's where the power comes through. And there's a couple of things that we can do with the Holy Spirit. Is that the first thing is to understand that, okay, that's the second thing. But the first thing is just to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person, he's real, that we can get to know him. And that we can actually speak to him and interact and partner with him. Okay, that he's also, we got to know that we want to accomplish God's agenda on earth, which is that God's got stuff to do and he needs us to partner with him, okay? And that everything that we want to do with power has to have the Holy Spirit in it. Otherwise, it's just a good deed. It's a good work. And it's only when we get the Holy Spirit with us that we can do the miracles, okay? And so the second thing is in your note, when you get these nice bright orange pieces of paper, there's a little section at the end where you write a letter. Like when you've like had a fight with a friend, the best thing to do is to write a letter and say, I'm sorry for whatever I did and everything. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. It's those little nudges that we sometimes get that say, hey, I should help this person. How often do we turn away and say, ah, forget about it, I'm busy. Okay? Every time we do that, we offend the Holy Spirit because he's like trying to get us to do something and we just like, ah, forget about it. And so that little nudge, we need to write in our letter, sorry for having ignored him, and I'm going to partner with him in the future. So write a little letter in your own words to the Holy Spirit, and yeah, and he'll start to work with you. And now we're going to move on to the risky, risky.
Thank you, Andrew Lena. So I'm at the garage the other day, and I asked the guy to fill my tank, and God says, go buy him a Coke. And this is an old Madala man filling my tank, and he's checking the oil and stuff. I'm like, God, surely the guy doesn't drink Coca-Cola. I mean, he's an old bully. He's probably, like, worried about his teeth. And so, like, God's, like, in my back, and he's pushing me. I was like, stop shoving, and right into the place. Buy him a Coca-Cola. I come back, and he says, oh, come see. Like, your brake fluid and your clutch fluid is too low. Can I fill it up for you? I'm like, wow, you know? And so when I finally give him that Coke, you should have seen his face. I said, no, man, that's for saving my life. Maybe you stopped me from having an accident or something. And my mind was starting to race and think, and no, this is not right, or should I do it? Last night, I'm driving back through a village, town, a little small town called Jericho, and there's a guy standing with a jerry can type thing, and he's a young guy. He looks like he's about 15, and it's like petrol. He's waving me down. And it's dark, and there's all dodgy characters everywhere. And I'm like, no, I just put my foot down, keep driving. This element of risk, hey, it's hard. Like that risk of should I do that, should I give, or if I offer that person something, would they think I'm nuts, or do they think I'm, what's wrong with you? Or you're trying to pick me up? You know, what were you wondering? Are you like a hooker? You know, there's this like element of risk. We were born to take risks. Despite fear, or discomfort, or personal, you know, maybe personal injury. So maybe after we've learned a bit more about this risk this week, next time I'll stop in a dark highway and give some dude like a lift to go get him petrol. Last night I didn't. So maybe I missed something. Maybe I didn't. Oh my, heck, that's even worse than what happened to you guys. I'm like totally embarrassed. I'm going to go up a slide or two here. And so what we want to encourage you today is to make some declarations as we close. You need to believe that God is who he says he is. If God has promised to meet your needs, you know that he'll make up that 170 to you. If God has promised to protect us, then we need to do stuff. Now, I think there's some wisdom and discernment. Don't go walking down a dark street in Hillbright Knot, you know, if you're 13. You know, maybe there's discernment unless God has really said it to you. You need to remember what God has done in the past. Those times God has worked through you. Everyone's had opportunities where God's done stuff through you. You need to know that God is greater than the situation. that God knows. That he's got the end from the beginning in mind. He knows what's happening. And that I need to step out in faith to deliver miracles. There's that faith element. It's not just easy ho-hum. It's that, should I do it? Is this guy going to think I'm nuts? When you feel that, then you know it's something really significant. If there's no risk involved, maybe it's not a big miracle. If there is a risk involved and you have to do something, wow, you're in for a huge miracle happening through you. Here's what I challenge you to do this week, is to use the handout. And my pretty assistant, Andrew Lena, is going to hand these out. Make sure you get one. Can I just say, if you didn't get one for, I don't know what, be careful. Oh, that's the new week. Don't hand those out because that's for AM 2. There's another pile at the back of handouts. If you missed last week, won't you go to the back where Tessa is with the orange shirt? She'll have a pile of last week's one. Be careful, they look the same except it says week one. Okay? And so read through that, work through that. Did anyone go to the fan page, the Ignite fan page, and see the notes last week? Anyone? Whoa. So I didn't waste my Sunday afternoon. I'm going to spend the whole of this afternoon doing the same thing. They were up by about 2 o'clock. Anya was the first person to hit it, make a comment. I can't give her a book because I bought her one last week. So I'll need to buy a chocolate for Anya or something. So visit the fan page. You can get links to the PowerPoint. I mean, there's images that Sandile and Andrew, let's have big ups for them. Let's give them a round of applause for some awesome design work, the two of them this week. And they'll be doing it next week. Use the four keys that we've learned. I love the way Andrew just put them all together. Didn't you love that? Big ups to Andrew. Imta's got another story that he was going to tell us about a big fat guy in a car, but he didn't tell that story. And we're trying to make sense of what that was all about. And then record your miracles and make a note of them. Post them on that fan page or tell them if you want to SMS Andrew or me with them or Imta, you can do that. And we'll be back next week for session 3. We're actually getting towards next week is, so how do I do the miracle? Okay, so we haven't been so much about doing the actual miracle. It's about our minds. Well, time is out, and I'm going to pray that God will make us sensitive to what he's doing through us, and then we're out of here. Lord, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for what we've learned. Some incredible insights this morning into how you work and you love people, into how your spirit wants to work through us, and how that you want us to step out on water, like Peter walked on water. And he was the first to say, Jesus, can I come to you? And you said, come. And in that moment, he knew he could trust you. And so he began walking toward you. And you were the God that he believed and had come to know. And as he stepped out, he was the only disciple who ever walked on water. Help us to follow you, to trust you. Do things through us this week. Change our hearts, Lord. When we're selfish, make us more like you. When we don't like people, help us to get over that. In the incredible name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go well.